Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name's David. I'm one of the team at All Saints Church in Wellington. And I've got to begin by apologising for the delay. I had left my laptop charger at the parish centre where we've been today for doing some food bank things. So that's why I'm a bit late, because I was trying to find my charger. And in the end, I found out after popping back to the parish centre, it was actually downstairs in the dining room all along, but never mind. So apologies that we're a bit late. We'll just have a few minutes while we're waiting for some people to join us. You might be watching this on the Telford Prayer Facebook page. And I'm also trying to, at the same time, stream it to the All Saints Church in Facebook, the All Saints Wellington Facebook page. So I don't know which one you might be watching it on, but it's great to have you with us this afternoon. We're just going to be an hour, maybe a few minutes after that, but we're going to be finished, aim to be finished by 4 o'clock, maybe 5 minutes after that. And you might want to go and put the kettle on. You might want to grab your Bible and a notepad just to jot some ideas down as we look at this idea of God speaking to us today. We might think, mightn't we, that God speaking is a bit strange. We might think that that's only for the kind of ultra holy people, or only for maybe we only see it in the book of Acts. But actually, I want to say that each and every one of us have the ability to hear God speak to us. There's nothing more natural. And we had a bit of a chat about that yesterday. So if you were here yesterday, we just kind of looked maybe at the kind of, you might want to say the theology of it, kind of. We looked at how we could listen and obey. We looked at the fact that Jesus was the ultimate example of someone who listened and obeyed the Father. And that led to God being glorified, and how when we listen and obey, that can end up with God being glorified as well. We looked at the idea that God is, and I nicked that word, perpetually articulate, and that throughout Scripture, God is speaking. That idea that throughout the whole story of the Bible, God speaks. And that's not just some kind of airy fairy term. God speaks to his people, and his people hear his voice. And so today we're going to be going a bit more practical. We're going to be looking at how we hear God speak. How do we do that practically? So that's what we're going to be thinking of today. So we'll be starting in a couple of minutes. You might want to grab your Bible, like I said. Hi, Liz. Good to see you. We've got six other people watching at the moment. Do say hi. I can kind of see the comments, I think. I think I'm able to see you. So do say hello if you'd like to. We're going to be doing a bit of singing as well, a bit of worship, before we go in to see what the Bible says. Okay, so like I said, we were a bit late starting. Apologies for that. And we're going to begin with a prayer, and we're going to begin with a song. You might want to sing along. You might just want to sit and be still and listen to the words, or read the words. All the words you need will be on the screen. And we're going to be thinking about this idea that right now we need to cast our eyes on Jesus. And that's kind of the secret, I think, of hearing God speak to us. I'm not some kind of amazing person that goes around hearing God speak to me all the time. I'm just someone that's learning what it's like to hear God speak to me, to hear God the Father, God my Father, speak to me, his child. And I think for me, the biggest secret is just always having him in mind, always being in his presence, being aware of his spirit with us. And our first song, and we sung it yesterday as well, and it's all about casting our mind to him, casting our mind to Calvary, taking our mind to Jesus, to all that he's done and won for us. So all the words you need will be on the screen. And we're going to have a go at singing "I Cast My Mind to Calvary." Let's sing together.
I cast
Amen. So, Lord, this afternoon we cast our mind, we cast our eyes to you. Would you come and teach us? Would you speak to us this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, apologies if you have kind of been panicking about where I am, but we're here and we're looking at how we hear God speak. And if you missed our session on Sunday afternoon, it's on YouTube. I'll put the link up later, or it should be actually on the Telford Prayer page, a few posts down from this. But today, this afternoon, we're going to spend just half an hour thinking about how we hear God speak to us. How do we hear God speak to us? And some of you might think, you know what, I've never heard God speak. I've never heard a voice. I've never had that happen. I've never had a big moment where an audible voice has I've heard. But I wonder if maybe a better question could be, have you ever perceived God communicating with you? And that doesn't sound quite as good, does it? It doesn't sound quite as snazzy. But I've never heard an audible voice speak to me. And I know lots of Christians that would say they hear God's voice haven't heard an audible voice speak to them. For me, that's not how God speaks. So how does he speak? How do we hear his voice? So what we're going to do is we're going to think about how we can put ourselves in a place, position ourselves, where it's easy for us to hear God. And don't think it's going to be a big, audible, booming voice. It might be, but there's other ways that God speaks to us. And firstly, I want to say that it's all about relationship. Why don't you think of your closest friend or your closest loved one, whoever that is? I wonder how much time you spend with them. I wonder how often they pop into your head. I wonder how often you talk with them. I wonder how often you would, if we weren't in lockdown, sit with them and enjoy their presence. And now let me ask you the same question about Jesus. How often do you spend time with him? How often do you just sit and be still and be with him and have a conversation without other things getting in the way? Because the more time we spend in his presence, the more we'll get used to hearing his whisper. John 10:14 says this. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We're meant to know him. We're meant to recognise his voice, to hear his voice. I love the fact that in the Middle East, shepherds used to pick up a lamb as soon as it was born and then talk to it for hours. Why? So that the lamb would learn to recognise the voice of the shepherd. What a lovely image for us. That as the sheep, God longs to pick us up, that we spend time in his presence, being whispered to, learning to recognise his voice. But in order to do that, we need to be in his presence. So the first thing for me, the first thing is the importance of being still. And that doesn't necessarily mean being silent, but the importance of being still, of dialing into God's presence, of quietening your heart and your mind and tuning in. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Because we are friends with him. John 15:15 says this. It says, I no longer call you servants. A servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Jesus doesn't keep secrets from us. He shares with us. He talks to us. Very often, God whispers to us. God whispers to us. And Mike Pilavachi says that that's to compel us to come closer. Because when someone whispers, you get closer. The well-known story of Elijah not finding God in the wind, not in the earthquake, but in the still small voice. That's 1 Kings 19, a big story to look at there. So we have to still ourselves. Be open to that. Be open to give God time. And sometimes God speaks, you know, through the everyday. It's not flashes of lightning. It's a gentle whisper. And for me, it's in the imagination. It's in your imagination. And I'm going to steal an activity I enjoyed last year when someone came to speak about a similar topic. And I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask you to picture a bowl of fruit, a bowl of strawberries. Can you picture that bowl of strawberries in your head? And once you're there, I want you to picture some poury cream, some nice double cream being poured on those strawberries. Can you see that in your mind's eye? And then maybe some also meringue. Should we crumble some meringue and put it on top? Are you seeing that in your mind's eye, that picture? Thanks to Mark Aldridge for that illustration. But the way that you see those things, for me, that's how God speaks to me. That imagination, that picture is how God speaks to me. Very often a picture or something in my imagination might jump into my head, and that's God speaking. Very often, not always, very often it's God speaking. Another way that God speaks is through his word. People that say, oh, I never hear God speak, I might say, okay, well, how often do you spend reading your Bible? It's not the only way God speaks through his Holy Spirit, but one of the major ways God speaks is by getting his word to jump out. And maybe you'll be reading your Bible and a verse will jump out and it'll hit you between the eyes. I've got some amazing stories of that happening that unfortunately I haven't got time to share today. But read this book. Read it every day. Set time aside to read it and talk about it. Not just to study it, not just to do it if you have to because it might be your job, but just to read it to get to know Jesus. So that's just some ideas of how we get ourselves in a position where we get ready for God to speak to us. And I would normally say a lot more about that. I've done a bit of a whistle-stop tour. But remember, the psalm tells us to be still and know that I am God. To be still. John 15:15 says about being friends and we draw close to God and we spend time in his presence. And one of the ways we do that maybe is through his word. So there's some important things that we do. So we still our hearts to get ready to hear. Be still and know that he is God. But what does that whisper look like? Okay, David, great, really interesting. But what does that whisper look like? Because very often someone might say to me, well, how do I know it's God? How do I know if it's God or my imagination? How do I know that? And my answer might be very gently, why not both? Why doesn't God use your imagination to speak to you? Surely that's something that would happen. He's created us. He's created our imaginations. Why wouldn't he use them to communicate with us? And as soon as we ask that question, as soon as we start really saying, is that me or is it God? I think we're in danger of going on dodgy ground. Of course, we've got to be careful. We've got to weigh up what we hear God saying to us. Definitely, yes. But remember, God is always speaking. He has spoken. He is speaking. He will speak again. And if we're filled with his spirit, when our spirit is stirred, why wouldn't that be him? Our flesh might ask, is that me? Or what? And that was one of the first temptations, wasn't it? Back in Genesis 3, the snake was craftier than any of the wild animals. And what did he ask? He said, did God really say that? Did God really say that? No. You see, from the beginning of time, the devil's aim is to get us to say, one of the devil's aims is to get us to think, no, that's not God. No, God didn't say that. Because there's power when we move in the prophetic. There's power when we hear God speak to us and do something about it. No wonder the devil wants to stop us doing it. No wonder in Genesis 3, that's the seed the devil plants. Did God really say that? Satan wants us to doubt what God says to us. So we doubt it sometimes. We label it as rubbish. We say, oh, that's only me. We don't bother weighing it up. We don't bother sharing it. And who knows what we've missed out on. So what I want to do now is just share some ways that God might speak to us. And I'm going to miss some out because it's 3:30 and we haven't got lots of time. But there are different ways that God might be speaking to us. So we're going to do some dramatic ways that God might speak and then some of the more everyday ways that I find God speaking to me usually. So we might pop to Acts 16, 9-10. And we read this. We say, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia. And after he'd seen the vision, he got up at once to leave. And there are other examples of these visions. And I've never had one of these big visions. But it seems to me that with the reading I've done about it, that if we have a vision, if the Holy Spirit kind of takes us, as it were, into the spiritual realm and we see a totally new vision, then maybe that's a major event, a major occurrence. It's not like you'd have a major vision of what to share a word at a prayer meeting for someone, maybe. But if you're at a major crossroads in life, a major decision that was going to have a big impact for the gospel, we see that in the book of Acts. All these visions that the apostles have and the early church have really shape a major movement of the Holy Spirit. And I think that happens today as well. In modern day, major vision. It's when the church it has a big mission, that God has got a big assignment for it. So with this vision in Acts, Paul goes to Asia, meets Lydia. She begins the church over there. The Gentiles are welcomed into the church in Acts 15 with a vision that Cornelius had. So that's visions, maybe. Another way is dreams. And there's a well-known passage in Joel 2:28 where Joel prophesies, "Afterwards, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." There it is again, moving in the prophetic, hearing God speak and talking it out. And your old men will dream dreams. And it goes on. This is the passage preached at Pentecost. We'll celebrate that on Sunday when the Spirit falls of a church prophesying, dreaming, having vision. And again, it seems to me in my limited experience, there are some people who have God regularly speaking to them in dreams. There are amazing stories of God revealing himself, especially to Muslims who meet with Jesus in dreams. All over the planet, Jesus is meeting people in these dreams. So maybe the next time you wake up and you've had a dream and you can remember it maybe quite vividly, why not write it down before you, so you don't forget it, or weigh it up, or just think, you know what, Lord, if this is something you want to speak to me about, I'm open for it. Another way that God speaks to us is through angels. And in the Old Testament, there are lots of occasions where an angel has spoken to a person who has received the message as if God himself was directly speaking to him. It's an angel of the Lord, and the person responds as if it is God speaking. We might remember Abraham in Genesis 22, the angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham and he says that because you've done this and you haven't withheld your only son, I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars. So the angel speaks on almost as it were delivering the message from God's mouth himself. And this great promise in Genesis 22, this great promise that Abraham gets echoes throughout scripture, and it was spoken by an angel of the Lord. There's an amazing story that I don't think I've got time to share, unfortunately, of, you know what, I will share it, it's really interesting, of my wife and I meeting with an angel. So we were at a friend's wedding, and we were Christians, and all that, yeah, we knew that. And we were at a wedding, we'd only been together a few months, and there's that strange time at a wedding where you'd had your dinner, you kind of had your meal, and there's an hour or so to go before the evening do. And we were sat around one of those big tables, we were by ourselves, everyone else was off dancing, we were chatting, me and Kimberly. And all of a sudden this bloke came over and sat down next to us. And he said to us, oh look, I hope you don't mind, I've got a message from God for you, hope that's okay. And we said, yeah, we're Christians, that's cool with us, we're used to kind of people doing that. And he said, great. And he said, I think God wants you to know, I just want to got our sense that God wants you to know that you're going to be spiritual parents. And this is before I was even thinking about church leadership and ministry and all that means. It was before me and Kimberly got into adoption and fostering, which is something we're passionate about as well. It was before all of that. And he said, yeah, you're going to be spiritual parents one day. And we thought, oh, thank you, that's nice, we'll write it down. Don't quite know what that means, but we'll write it down. And then we said to the chap, oh, so who are you here with? And he went, oh, my lot are over there. He kind of pointed like that. And I said, oh, what do you work in? He said, oh, I work in communications. And we carried on chatting. And then I turned to talk to Kimberly. And then as I turned round, this man had almost just disappeared. He wasn't there anymore. Me and Kimberly were like, where's he gone? And then a few minutes later, we went off to talk to the bride and the groom. We were chatting to them. And we said, look, we've met this chap. He's in communication. And neither of them had a clue who he was. We hadn't seen him all day. We didn't see him for the rest of the day. No one knew him. And I wonder if at that moment, God wanted to speak to us. At that moment, God sent an angel who was in communications, because that's what angels do, they're messengers of God, who showed up to give us a message. We don't know. You know what? Who knows? But I wouldn't be surprised if that was God speaking to us through an angel. So you know what? If someone shows up in your life fairly randomly, speaks a fairly insightful word to you, just be aware that you never know. But for most of us, and this is the next one, for most of us, I think the most common way we're going to encounter God speaking is through impressions and thoughts. That day by day, as we go through whatever it is we do, we're open, like I said, to our imagination, our thoughts being used by God to encourage others. Let me share a really brief example with you. So a few weeks ago, and whenever I was praying, often an ex-colleague of mine would pop into my head. I hadn't seen her for about 4 or 5 years. But it just happened that over those days, she also just kept on popping up on Facebook and Instagram, just on those kind of Instagram and Facebook feeds as well. Coincidence? Well, I thought maybe God's trying to say something here. So I text her and I just said, look, you've for some reason, you've been on my heart a bit. I've been thinking of you. You know, I'm a Christian. I know you're not. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And would you believe that there was something really significant in her life over the last few days that she really appreciated prayer for? See, these examples kind of happen quite a lot, I think, when we're open to God speaking, when we're aware that it's not the big booming voice. So God can speak through many things, and we're running out of time, so I want to get a bit practical, but he can use any of our senses. He can use hearing, sight, touch, smell and taste because he made them. He can use song lyrics. He can use a particular film scene. He very much uses scripture because it's his word to speak to us, to speak to our hearts, angels, big major visions. And very often, sometimes just what I call our God tummy, a feeling down there where we think, oh, actually, you know what? I've got a feeling in my gut that this something's going to happen, or I think someone needs a phone call, or I think someone needs a text. There's a wonderful person in our church who would say to me, oh, I'm not one of those charismatics. And then when you talk to them, they're very much like, oh yeah, I was led to talk to this person, and I felt urged to go and knock on this door. I'm like, yeah, that's it. It doesn't have to be big and jumpy up and down and shouting in tongues and making lots of noise. It's just an awareness that God, through his Spirit, wants to speak to us. We can hear God's voice. No one's better. No one's more holy. God wants to speak to every single one of us. So we're going to give it a go in a minute. And like I said, normally, if it was a kind of practical thing, we might go off into groups and listen and see what God might be saying. If it was Zoom, it'd be even weirder, but we could do it. But we're going to give it a go after I've talked a bit more and we're going to get practical. But what we're going to do is go back again to 1 Corinthians 14. I think that's a really key passage. Kimberly read it, my wife read it for us yesterday. She's going to read it again because it's on a video. And so while she's reading it, you might want to flick yourself to 1 Corinthians 14.
This is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 6. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction?
I just love that. I love the way that Paul says, you know, the prophecy. Eagerly desire it. It's a good gift. It's the best gift of building up the church and encouraging each other. And later on, he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, 26. He's saying, what should we say then, brothers or sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. He's almost saying there's too much stuff going on. Let's calm it down a bit. But what he's saying is it still needs to be done. It needs to be done in order. But the expectation is that God, through his Spirit, is moving, that each and every one of us can encounter and hear God's voice and hear God speak. So let's unpack this a bit. There's some do's and don'ts of sharing when we think God might be saying. Because there is always a danger. There's horror stories, aren't there, out there of people saying, God told me to do this, and God telling, apparently, people to do all sorts of bad things. So there are ways of weighing it up. there are ways of weighing up what people say to us. We don't go and say, thus says the Lord, you need to do this. That's not what we do. Do you remember yesterday we talked about higher order and lower order prophets kind of thing? We talked about, you know, we're not Isaiahs, we're not Jeremiahs that are writing scripture, speaking the direct words of God, are we? No. We're not. We're kind of, you know, think of Joel post-Pentecost. We've all got that ability to hear what God says, but we do so dimly. Paul says that elsewhere. We hear, we see dimly. We see through a foggy glass. We don't get it right all the time. And so we're aware of that. So we share it humbly. We share it openly. And we're going to be looking at how we do that. So when we think we might be hearing God speak, so what then? So we've looked so far at how God might speak through lots of different things. So let's imagine we've heard God speak, we've got something from him, we think, what do we do? Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, there's a couple of clues. The first thing we think is that it should build up the church, verse 3 and verse 26. And the word Paul uses is a word that's meant to build up like a building, build up a house with good, strong material. So if you feel God speaking to you and you're sharing it with someone else, does it build them up? Doesn't mean it doesn't challenge them necessarily, but does it build them up? And the next one is a key one, verse 3. Does it encourage? Does it build and release faith? That's what, when we hear God speak, very often, in fact, what it says here is that all the time when we prophesy, it should be encouraging for others. Now, later on, if we get a chance, we'll come on to what we do if it's a bit less encouraging than that sometimes. But what do? We make sure that it's encouraging. Again, there are some examples that I could share of our house group. When we meet, we pray together and we see what God might be saying to each other. And very often we might get a picture or a Bible verse for each other and we share it and we encourage one another. And sometimes it's just, oh, I've got a picture here of, we had one a few weeks ago. We had a picture of someone, I think I showed it yesterday, kind of walking through a forest and everything was the same and it was just getting a bit dull and monotonous and people were feeling lost. And the simple encouragement was, God gets it. God's there with you and he understands your situation. And for one person, that resonated so, so strongly. So does it build up and does it encourage? And again, verse 3, to say something else, does it comfort? So they're the three things that we hope when we hear God speak, that's what it will do. And so how do we share? What mannerisms do we have when we share? Well, the first thing is that we're humble because we may well get it wrong, especially as we learn to discern God's voice. You know, we're not going to get it right all the time. Think of my 5-year-old, you know, learning to ride his bike and if he falls off it, I don't kind of, you know, say, oh, what? Come on, that's ridiculous. No, I think, come on, let's try again. Up you get. Let's do it. And I think for us with God, there's a sense that if we get it wrong, God says, okay, come on, keep trying. Now that means that when we share, we do so humbly, with an openness that we might well get it wrong. We do so in a safe environment. This is such a good thing to do maybe in a small house group or something like that. When you gather together and you share with people that you're close with and you know that it might be a bit wrong and that's okay, it's a safe place to give it a go. So we're humble. We're also humble when we hear it. Know that that person might be wrong or they might have really heard something important for our lives. So we're humble when we receive and we're humble when we offer it. And I said this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. When we give a prophetic word, when we give an insight into what we think God might be saying, it's got to point to Jesus. Revelation 19:10 ends with it's the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. There's a bigger story behind that, but in essence, prophecy points to Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, the fullness of deity dwells. And so when we move by the Spirit to speak in the prophetic, it points to Jesus. So it shouldn't be a sense of, oh, wow, the person sharing that word is really good. No, the response is, wow, that word points me to a God who is good and a God who is loving and a God who is great. So does it resonate with us? Does what the person share with us or what we hear from God, does it resonate with us? Does it resonate with the Bible? That's really important. God will not speak something that's contrary to what he has already spoken through Scripture. So then how do we share it? coming into land before we give it a go. How do we share it? Well, what will happen is generally we get a kind of revelation. Maybe something might trigger us. A picture comes into our head. A Bible verse jumps into our head. A song lyric resonates in our heart. Someone jumps into our head or whatever. And we see something. So, for example, it might be, oh, in my imagination, I see a balloon. Okay. See a balloon. Great. So I could stand in front of the church and say, God's given me the picture of a balloon. You could. But what would be better is to say, well, let's interpret that. Let's not just stop there. What is God saying through it? So a really good prayer that I might try and pray is, okay, what else, Lord? What else are you trying to teach me? What's happening with that balloon? Is it floating away? Is it staying still? Is it deflating? Is it a parting? Is it popped? And we need to pray, Lord, is this for now or for me? Sometimes I'm sharing something, and as I'm sharing it, I'm thinking, actually, I think this is for me, and I'm just sharing it with everyone, but I needn't have bothered because it's for me. I've got a story about, you know, is it now or is it later? I can remember once we were at communion at church, and as I was giving communion out, I felt the Holy Spirit ask me to go and pray for someone. So I went over and I said, look, can I pray for you? Is there anything you'd like prayer for? The person said, oh, not really, actually, no, but thank you. And I started thinking, oh, that's a shame. I really thought that was the Holy Spirit. Okay, never mind. You know, we all make mistakes. Carried on. Didn't think anything of it. Got to the end of church, and that person came up to me and went, yeah, you can pray for me now. That sermon really kind of triggered something, and I'd love some prayer. So what I made the mistake then of thinking is, okay, Lord, is it now, or do you want me to hold off a bit? I got too excited. And those of you that know me know that I often get quite excited. So we might get the picture, the revelation. We then think about the interpretation, and then this is the bit where it can go a bit messy, the application. What do we do with it? How do we share it? And we share it openly. We share it in a way that isn't proud. We share it in a way that says, you know what, here it is, and if it's wrong, or if you don't want it, that's okay. I've done my bit. I've shared it with you. And we share it humbly, and we share it briefly, and we share it boldly. That's how we do it. So we get the revelation, the picture, the word, whatever it is. We pray more, Lord, what's the interpretation? And if we don't get the interpretation, we might want to weigh it up with someone that we trust, or that person the picture might be for, or you might want to sit on it for a while. Sometimes God gives me something, I'm just sitting on it for a day or so. And then we look at the application. What do we do with it? Is that for me? Is it for someone else? For now or for later? So before we give it a go, we're going to pop into 1 Corinthians 13, just an encouragement. Because remember I said high or low order prophecy. Some of it's the word of God, we said that a minute ago. Some of it's kind of the unshakable stuff. And then not everyone is a prophet with a capital P, but I think we can all move in the prophetic. Do you remember? We're not all professional drivers, but most of us can drive, that kind of thing. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Just an encouragement that when we try this, we don't always do it in all of its fullness. Sometimes we get it a bit wrong. And remember what I said about being in a safe place with people that get it and support you, and it's okay to be working out what it might look like. Again, a house group, a small group, perfect place for something like this, because you can talk about it and be open and learn together. Getting something wrong does not mean you're a false prophet and you're going to be condemned. Okay, Jude 11 and 2 Peter 2:15 make it clear that that's not really what a false prophet is. When we're trying to hear God's voice, we share it openly and humbly and get it wrong. That's us learning to hear God's voice. Remember, we don't say this is what God has told me about you. We do it openly and humbly with an open hand. So we hear, to recap, we hear by being still, by being open to God using our imagination. You know, the first time I knew God spoke like that, I didn't know it was my imagination. I didn't know that's how God spoke. And I was leading worship. I was about probably 17. I was leading worship. And I kept getting the picture of someone's knee in my head. And I was thinking, Lord, this isn't good. I'm trying to lead worship. I'm trying to be a holy kind of, you know, worship leader. And a knee keeps coming into my head. And I was casting it out in the name of Jesus and telling it, no, I'm going to be concentrated. And then afterwards, I shared this with my youth work at the time. And I said to him, look, I don't think I was really feeling it. I kept getting the picture of a knee in my head. And he said to me, oh, David, that may well have been God speaking to you. like, really? It's like, yes, that's very often how God might be speaking through your imagination. I was like, okay. So as a band, we were there and I said, well, I've got a picture of a knee. Does that mean anything to anyone? And the girl singing next to me says, yeah, I've got a really sore knee, actually. A really sore knee. Can we pray for it? We prayed for her and God healed her. Praise him. And I, so from that moment on, I thought, okay, that's how God can speak to me, through my imagination. That's a really good learning point for me, that these random things that come into my head, these random things that come into my mind, may well, are very often God's Holy Spirit trying to speak. So we hear God speaking all, in all different ways. We interpret, we say, okay, Lord, what's that about? What does that mean? And then we apply it. And we do so humbly. We do so with an open hand and we say, here you go. I offer this to you. If it's for someone else, I offer this for you. Who knows? It might be me, it might be the Lord, but I'd like it, you to weigh it up. And we let them go. We let it go and we give it to them and give it to God. So what I thought we might do is give that a go. If you could turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, we're going to have a go at... Yeah, I think we'll do this one. We'll have a go at seeing if God can speak to each and every one of us this afternoon through his word. That's a good way to start. So we look at Psalm 23. I've just picked it because it's quite a well-known psalm. So it won't be maybe particularly new to all of us, which is probably going to be useful. A total blank of where psalms are in the Bible. Always happens, doesn't it? There we go. Fab. So Psalm 23, I'm not going to read it all out to you. But what I'm going to do is play some music, and I'm going to, as the music plays, I'm going to invite you to read the psalm just quietly. You might want to read it out loud. You might want to read it to yourself out loud or in your heart. And what I'd like you to do is think about what line or what word from that psalm do you think God really wants to speak to you through this afternoon. Now, the good thing about this is maybe if you get it a bit wrong and you don't have a clue what he's saying, it's still his word, so he still wants to speak to you through it, so that's okay. But there might be a particular line from it, a particular word that God wants you to have a kind of a fresh revelation of, or a new way of thinking about. So Psalm 23. And what I'd like you to do, once you've read it through one or two times and the music's playing, just have a think which line, like I said, might be speaking to you. Maybe there's a line or word that jumps out at you. And if it does do that, why not write it in the comments and share it with other people? And remember, you might want to give it an interpretation as well. So, for example, you might feel that, I don't know, I'm making this up, but you might be thinking that quiet waters jump out at you. Couldn't we all do with that? And you might think, okay, Lord, what does that mean for me? I need some time to be still. I need some time to sit and be still and be next to you. For example, now often we try to be a bit more specific when we hear God speak. But this is a good way of starting to be open to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. If you think, you know, I'm not really sure about Psalm 23 and reading that, why not just be still, listen to the music and see what God might want to be saying to you. You might want to pray for me. You might want to just pray for me and see if God gives you a Bible verse or a picture for me. That would be lovely. But if not, like I said, Psalm 23 is a good place to start. So we're going to sing a song while we do that. And we're going to be open to see what God, through his word, wants to speak to us about today. So let's say a prayer before we do that. So come, Holy Spirit. We come against any distraction in the name of Jesus. We cast our eyes to you, we look to you, we focus on you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we believe that you want to speak to us. We see that throughout Scripture. In Genesis, you spoke. In Revelation, at the end of the Bible, at the end of the story of Scripture, you speak. And throughout the Bible, you speak. So speak to us now, we pray, through your word. With something from this psalm, jump out for us. Would it be resonating in our hearts this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you, Lord. All your mercy never fails me. I look to you, and where my help comes
wonder if in that moment God has spoken to you. We just sung, or we just listened to the words, that we look to him, that he knows what to do. And in the last song, we talked about being closer than a father and a friend. And we love your voice, that song says. That's one of the words I love in that song, the goodness of God. It says, I love your voice. And that for me sums up the secret, like I said earlier, of hearing God's voice. It's spending time with Jesus. It's spending time in his presence, just loving him and being loved by him, and getting to know what that might look like in terms of how he might speak to us. So I do hope that these kind of whistle-stop thoughts, and like I said, I'm no expert in hearing God's voice. I'm no major prophet, but like I said yesterday, I'm just someone that's learned that actually each and every Christian can hear God speak to them. That's what the Bible says, and that's what my experience has shown me, that each and every one of us has the ability to build each other up, to encourage one another with words of knowledge, with words of encouragement, and by moving in the prophetic ministry. And that's it, kind of in a nutshell. So I really hope and pray that something from Psalm 23 this morning has maybe been a fresh this afternoon has maybe been a fresh revelation to you. Do feel free to chuck it down in the comments, one of the things that you feel God might have spoken to you. If you missed the session from yesterday, then please do go on to All Saints Wellington YouTube channel and go on to our Thy Kingdom Come playlist, and it'll be there. But I want to end by encouraging you to do something. So this is the Thy Kingdom Come. This is part of the 24 hours, 10 days Thy Kingdom Come prayer cover that Shropshire Hope are doing. And so what I'd really encourage you to do, if you have chosen 5 people to pray for as part of Thy Kingdom Come, why not put this into practice? Why not spend a bit of time, even after this, even right now, a bit of time in God's presence, lifting those people to him, seeing what he might want to say to them. Maybe he has a picture for them. Maybe God has a word of encouragement for them. And God may well speak that to you to share with them. So we're going to sing, we're going to have a final song now, just because it's always nice to finish with a bit of song. If you're still praying, that's great. And then I'll say goodbye. And if you want to catch up with this again, it will be on the YouTube channel. I do apologise, it's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour. It's been quite a quick one, but that's the nature of what we have to do in just under an hour. So here's our final song. Change, you never fail, oh God. thanks so much to Lucy and to Debbie and Richard from All Saints Church Wellington for letting me use some of their worship videos that we'd normally use on a Sunday morning for our church services. Thank you so much for serving with us. That's great. I really hope that these two sessions have been helpful in making us all aware that each and every one of us can hear God speak. Each and every one of us can hear God speak. God says, you know, in John 15:15, that we are friends and that we're no longer servants. And he talks to us and he speaks to us. So I'd really encourage you, if you've got any questions, to do get in touch and to encourage being aware of what it would mean to be a Christian who walks knowing that God is speaking with them, being perpetually articulate. So let's end with a prayer. Father, we thank you that you love us enough to want to speak to us. So we pray that from now on we would go about our business, our walk with you, believing even more that we can hear you speak. Believing even more that you love us. And would we, Lord, have courage to act upon it when we feel you speak to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. If anything I've said has resonated with you or raised questions, do get in touch. If maybe you don't know Jesus and you've just accidentally turned this on and thought, who's this Jesus guy? We'd love to talk to you about him. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to bring you life in all its fullness, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone away from him or whatever your life has been like. He loves you. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants a relationship with you and to turn from the old and to walk with him. So again, if that's something you'd be interested in, then be in touch. But I don't know what's on now with Telford Prayer, but that's me done. I think I've overshot by 8 minutes. But thanks so much for joining me, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.